We are about to have a witty, wise, and wonderful time. Put your hands together for the Board of Education.
Ready? Hello. Thanks for coming to Folk Life today. Are you ready to rock and roll?
Yeah.
All right, let's do it. Too late, then you gotta get out the door. There's not even time for the butter to melt on your waffle. Out at the bus stop, you realize that your clothes don't match again.
Oh man.
So check your backpack, make sure you've got us along.
We are the Board of Education.
Start this show. That song's called Rise and Shine. It's about waking up and getting where you need to be in the morning, whether that's the school bus or the car or Folk Life at 11:45. Woo! Can everybody say hello to the sun? Hi, sun! This song is about the sun and other interstellar objects. It's a song about outer space called Beverly the Village Misfit.
Beverly the Village Misfit was fine, never saying anything of interest unless you asked politely. Then she could explain the mysteries of the universe to you.
Like, for example,
if a neutron star collapsed, the resulting black hole could affect the orbit of our nearby solar system. But no one in their village ever listened to her. She knew all of the planets and nebula and quasars and pulsars too, but she couldn't stand it when anyone wished upon a shooting star. 'Cause that's a misnomer. A shooting star is actually a meteorite, and the fact that 10 or more were falling every night was the first sign that their planet had gotten out of orbit and drifted back into the biggest asteroid belt in the galaxy, which was only known about by Beverly.
You couldn't possibly.
Absolutely not.
What is she talking about?
Beverly. What
complicated physics?
That's preposterous. What do you know?
Maybe you've had an occasion to feel like this when something you're so sure of is dismissed by all your friends, despite the overwhelming facts you have to prove that you are very right. Beverly knew the planets and nebula and quasars and pulsars too, but she couldn't stand it when anyone wished upon a shooting star. 'Cause that's a misnomer. A shooting star is actually a meteorite, and the fact that more and more were falling every night was the first sign that their planet was doomed. But the village leader still wouldn't listen to her until there were so many asteroids they blocked out the sun. Then every just wondering what could be done. But Beverly, the village misfit, was gone. She built herself a spaceship, and she took her family along, along with her books and her dog, and they searched the galaxy for a new home. There goes the spaceship. Woo! Thank you.
What's next?
Oh, eight, right?
As you can tell by now, these songs have a lot of fun and exciting and interesting words in them. And I'm a former science teacher, so these things seemed like great ideas to write songs about. One idea that scared me was to write a song about math. But then we started looking around at all the different numbers, and we found this one amazing number that really deserved a song. That's what this next song is about. In a world of danger, there is only one number that you need. In the ancient tarot, it means strength and stands for wealth in Chinese. It's the number of the planets that our solar system has left. Now that Pluto couldn't hack it, because he didn't have the heft. Eight is the number of a center fielder. Eight is the number of pawns in chess. Eight is the number of sides on a stop sign. How many bits are in a byte? You guessed it, eight. You say you're in a jam with no escape.
Uh-oh.
And the only way to best your foe is to bake a cake. Well, there's eight fluid ounces in a cup, 8 inches to a teaspoon. And if you know there's 8 tablespoons to a pill, your enemy will lose. Eight is the number of legs on a spider. The eight has 8 vegetables. The time that all movies start should be 8. 7 is too early and 9 is too late. Eight is the number of the month of August. Eight is the birthday of Smokey the Bear. Eight means your call is free. When eight takes a nap, that's infinity. Until the 8th grade. I really liked it, but I was only average, 'cause I was too afraid to head the ball. Thanks, Eric.
Whoa! 1, 2, 3.
Eight is the number of Yogi Berra. There are 8 countries in Central America. 8 is the number of notes in an octave. The original Nintendo was only 8 bits.
8
is the number of Ghosts of Macbeth.
8
is the birthday of Svetlana Svitskaya.
8
means your call is free. When 8 takes a nap, that's infinity. Oh, 8 is a number.
8
is a number. 8 is a number.
8
is a numeral, an integer, a digit. Number. Oh, it is a number. Wow. Maestro Eric Getz on the keyboards, everyone.
And the stairs.
And on the stairs. So we're a band from right here in Seattle called Central Services, and we made a record last winter called The Board of Education. We have them for sale over at our little merchandise table. You can go see the lovely Miss Annie. We have a mailing list and some postcards if you're interested. The CD has 13 songs.
a fraction of which you're going to hear today. And I know you're going to want to pick it up and, you know, figure out all the vocabulary and definitions that you missed along the way. This next song is kind of a sad story, but one of hope. It's about a lonely tomato.
Yes. One, two, three, four.
I used to be just one of the vegetables, like carrots, zucchini, and broccoli. I had fun sitting on top of your salads and in between your crust and cheese. I don't know what to do. Say that I might be a fruit. All the vegetables say.
Who wants a vegetable? It's so red. That's all those seeds inside.
I don't know who to be. The fruit says you can't sit here with me.
You go hang out with the pizza.
Where do I fit in? It's awkward in the produce aisle. Those salad bags, they won't smile at me anymore. The mushrooms look the other way, and the cucumber bristles. Then I say,
hey, technically, cucumber, aren't you a fruit too?
Cucumber just laughs awkwardly and says,
Sir, I'm green, and have you looked at my shape? I'm not some round, perky little thing like you. No, and have you tasted me even? I taste like air with a hint of soap. I'm not a fruit.
Now I don't know what to do. They say that I might be a fruit.
He doesn't even have any leaves.
He's not even a tuber.
I never trusted him.
Don't know who to be. He says I'm high in lycopene. Fruit, they say.
Oh, come on. We're high in antioxidants too, but we're not like, look at me, I'm so healthy.
Where do I fit?
Definition. Vegetable, noun, a usually herbaceous plant as the cabbage, bean, or potato, grown for an edible part that is usually eaten as part of a meal.
Definition, fruit, noun, a product of plant growth as grain, vegetable, or cotton, the usually edible reproductive body of a seed plant, especially one having a sweet pulp associated with the seed.
Definition, tomato, noun, the usually large, rounded, typically red or yellow, pulpy berry of an herb, a plant that is a tender perennial cultivated for its edible fruit. So where do I fit in exactly? Now I'm all alone, and the dictionaries have spoken. You know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna start a new movement, a new direction. I've been writing down some notes in my tomato journal. Perhaps you'd like to try some of these.
Tomatoes in your apple pie. Tomatoes in your strawberry shortcake. Tomatoes in your orange juice. Tomatoes in your oatmeal. Chocolate and tomato ice cream. Tomato lemonade. Tomatoes in your pancakes and tomato Captain Crunch. Guacamole pizza.
Hey, that sounds kind of good. But wait, an avocado is a fruit too. So there, try and live without me. You'll see.
Where do I fit in?
Where does he fit in?
tomato fit in?
Thanks, everybody. That was Miss Andrea Witkins on the voice of the cucumber and other assorted fruit/vegetables. And Jeff Blancato on the voice of the rutabaga, pumpkin, and other produce. This is fun. Yes. Okay, we're going to get serious for a minute. No, I'm just kidding. This is part one of what we hope to be a multi-part experience in music called Know Your Inventors. And in each song, we like to highlight an inventor who's been forgotten throughout time. We're working on parts 2 through 45 for a double album next year, but to start, we wrote part 1, and it's about someone very important who you may have benefited from today. See if you can figure out who it is as the song goes along.
There have been a lot of people throughout the past who invented really important things that they don't get enough credit for. There was one man in particular who's usually forgotten, but in a way, he's the most important guy of all. When you jog or bike or walk or ride in a car so smoothly that you can fall asleep, you have him to thank. Nobody knows his name.
Nobody knows.
But if it wasn't for him, you'd have blisters the size of grapes on your feet. Let me tell you about William W. Averill, one of the smartest guys our country's had. He's not as famous as Alexander Graham Bell, but I assure you, he is just as rad. Yeah, William W. Averill was rad. Was a marching band and did a lot of marching in the Battle of Bull Run and the Civil War. Yeah, maybe it was all those miles trod on rocks and mud that gave him the idea he's not known for. Yeah, the idea you should know him for. See, he invented pavement or tarmac or asphalt. Call it whatever you want. The stuff you walk or run on or drive your car on, a plate or square on or skin your knee on. Why were you running way too fast in the first place? Because there's pavement under your feet. See, he invented pavement or tarmac or macadam. Call it whatever you want. Oh yeah, the stuff you run on, or drive your car on, or play four square on, or skin your knee on. Disco, why were you running around like that when I specifically told you not to? Tell your mom. Because of William W. Averill.
Ladies and gentlemen, John Goff on the 12-string guitar, keyboards, woo! Other guitars, effects pedals, and multiple straps.
Woo!
Tinfoil.
Hey, thank you guys for dancing. This next song is about something that's near and dear to me. It's about the many uses of tinfoil, which is a wonderful, wonderful substance. And this song is actually already outdated because when we wrote it last year, you weren't allowed to recycle tinfoil legally in your recycling bin. And so there's a line about how, it's too bad it's not recyclable, but now you can recycle tinfoil. So, yeah, tinfoil recycling! Reuse and reduce and recycle your tinfoil. So we'll try to amend the vocals as we go along to fit the current climate. Oh, and ladies and gentlemen, Eric, Vince, and Harlan on the tinfoil hats. And John has a helmet on.
John recycled his tinfoil already, so he's just left with a regular, plain old helmet.
All right, here we go. This song is called Lunchtime, Tinfoil Robots.
Okay. One, two, three.
Keeps its lunches warm as they're loaded off the truck from some strange school lunches factory. Keeps the contents of your sandwich hidden from your friends. Not just because you're embarrassed, but because your friends have germs. Tinfoil, tinfoil, strange flimsy metal. It's too bad you're now recyclable. Tinfoil, oh, tinfoil. Wrap it around your finger. You can pretend that you're a robot.
Everybody robot!
Tinfoil robot on Marco's finger has a mission to complete. It must obtain the multicolored fruit snack bags across the table. But the tinfoil robot knows this will be his greatest challenge yet. Because the multicolored fruit snack bag belongs to Hannah. These are the multicolored fruit snacks with the added vitamin C and those amazing neon hues and natural flavors. Besides, Hannah's got it coming, cause earlier that day, she snuck up behind Marco and totally taped a mean sign in his back during math class. It's true. The tinfoil robot inches between the cartons of fat-free milk and crinkled paper lunch bags. His tinfoil sensors humming. He sees that Hannah is distracted and he finally makes his move. Fist falling from the sky, and she smashes the tinfoil robot into the table.
Ow! Oh, cursed flimsy metal!
Sensors report our hull is compromised. Then Hannah says,
oh my god, you are so annoying. Why don't you learn some manners?
I'm sorry.
Why don't you just ask for one?
Oh man.
And the tinfoil robot is silent. Voice transmitter crushed, yet inside his CPU he thinks.
Because then everyone at this table would know that I love you. One, two.
Protect me from tinfoil, oh tinfoil. Technically no longer made of tin, it's aluminum, but it's easier to say tinfoil, oh tinfoil. Wrap it around every single appendage and it still won't protect you from love. It won't protect you from
la 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 la.
It won't protect you from
love. Woo! Oh my gosh, thank you. That was Tinfoil Robots. Hey everybody, yes sir. Yes, there was a line there at the end, technically no longer made of tin.
It's aluminum.
But gotcha. It's easier said than tinfoil.
But it's easier to say tinfoil. Aluminum. It's hard. We have two more for you. We're the Board of Education. Thank you guys so much for listening today. I hope you have a great afternoon. Please take a postcard or pick up a CD if you'd like to hear some more of the songs that we have had so much fun playing for you today.
Let's play Ice Ages, and then if we have time, we'll play Elbow.
This next song is called Ice Ages Are Fun. It employs a narrative device called sarcasm. It's from the point of view of someone who's gotten a little freaked out about global warming and is trying to see the bright side in an impending geoclimate calamity.
It's hot up here.
Woo. Jeff Lancato on the ski goggles.
Woo. It's hot.
Eric Getz on the ski goggles and knit hat.
What about me?
Hey, everybody's got hats on except me. And Harlan.
Here we go. One, two, three.
I'm looking forward to the next ice age if it comes next week or even next month, but not if it's in the next millennium, 'cause I don't know what I'm gonna do until it gets here. I don't know how I'm gonna wait for all that snow. I wanna sled on an ice sheet miles thick and have a walrus instead of a dog and have penguins coming to my bird feeder. And it'll all be thanks to global warming. The first step involved in the next ice age would be too much carbon in the atmosphere from fossil fuels and a lack of trees. The planet will get so warm that glaciers at the poles will melt and the oceans will rise. But don't worry, then the world will get really cold.
I don't know what I'm gonna do until it gets here. I don't know how I'm gonna wait for all that ice. But while we're waiting, we can still have fun. Water skiing right around the Space Needle.
Places like Seattle will be underwater.
New York City will be underwater.
And Disney World will be underwater.
And lobsters will live in Space Mountain.
All that water will cool things down and the glaciers will be back to cover the earth. We'll finally get to live in deluxe ice caves.
I don't know what I'm gonna do until it gets here. We'll take a dog sled bus to school and then eventually glaciers recede. Maybe if we're lucky, Seattle will have fjords and everything will be nice and clean so we can start all over again.
Thanks so much for listening. We have one more song for you. It's called Tired Ride Home, which is what we're going to do in about 15 minutes. Thank you guys so much for listening to us today. We're the Board of Education. Have a great day. The show, you couldn't be more tired, and you feel like your brain is about to burst, but that's okay, 'cause this show is over for now. Slouch down in your seat on the bus, forehead against the window.
We are the Board of Education. Thank you for coming to the this show. We hope that sometime soon we'll see you again. Na, 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 na. Now it's time, time to go.
John, Harlan, Jeff, Vince, Andrea, Eric, I'm Kevin. We're the Board of Education. Have a great day.